Well, it's always a privilege to minister the Word of God, and we've come to the end of the trail. It's hard to believe that we are 30 messages into Romans, but we are. And my text this morning is Romans chapter 8. And again, we are looking at verses 31 and following down to the end of the chapter. We shared a few thoughts by way of communion meditation on this text last Sunday. But now we're going to draw out some more. These texts are so rich, there's so much to share, and as you're turning there, I just want to say Holly and I so much appreciate your many kind words, words of encouragement, and your kind gifts. We're so grateful. We're trusting God that He's going to provide until the next place of employment. And I believe He will. We're trusting God for that, and the church is letting the trustees have provided up through the end of November some housing, and hopefully we'll have some direction by then. And anyway, we're trusting the Lord. And by the way, thank you for praying for Holly as well. Many of you know that she had a little repair on varicose veins, surgery that she had a few years back. And she's doing well enough to be here this morning. So I'm glad that Holly is here. I assume that many of you have one of those devices called a GPS, a global positioning system. It's, of course, a navigational aid. It's very, very handy. Many of you have them built right into your car, or you have one that you can stick to the windshield. Some of you now have an app on your iPhone that also provides the same service. This is a marvelous piece of technology, and many of us use this all the time. And actually, that technology has applications that you probably haven't even thought of, and in fact has been used for some time. Out in North Dakota, my favorite state, say you are never going to hear any illustrations from North Dakota again after I am gone. But about a dozen years ago, I was out on the farm. I was with my cousin, who is now deceased, gone home to be with the Lord. But we were out driving a very large tractor diagonally across the field, and with a large chisel plow, that's tillage equipment that stretched out 60 feet wide behind the tractor, also putting anhydrous ammonia, so we were dragging a tank and putting anhydrous ammonia into the ground as a fertilizer. And I was there in the cab and was watching the screen, the monitor, and my cousin was not touching the steering wheel at all. Now remember, we're going diagonally. We're not going straight north and south or east and west. And the satellite system was actually steering the tractor. And with about this much overlap out 30 feet off to the right. And I remember the days when I used to have to watch that out of the corner of my eye to make sure that I didn't miss anything. But now it's all done perfectly straight by satellite. And it's just a GPS aid. It's quite amazing. Actually, that system allows us at any given time to establish a location. You can find out where you are on the face of the earth within just a few feet. And again, amazing. It's technology that is just beyond my comprehending. Now, studying the Bible is it is sometimes helpful to know one's exact location. Let me tell you exactly where we are this morning on our BPS, our biblical positioning system. Romans could be called the Himalayan range of the Bible. Someone has called it that. And Romans 8 is Mount Everest. And Romans 8:31, where our text begins this morning, is just a few hundred meters from the summit. That's where we are this morning. This is, I think, certainly one of the most exalted of passages in the Bible. So, let's read it and then we'll pray. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for this beautiful text, this word of encouragement. It's an ultimate word to the people of God, that you indeed reign and shall reign eternally, and that we are kept by your power and your grace, and that nothing shall defeat your church. Lord, help us to see what you are saying this morning. Help us to hear it with spiritual ears. Lord, encourage us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that you've noticed that the world never loses its fascination with sports figures. Now, many athletes can hold the spotlight for a few seasons, but then usually fade. Yet there are those giants of the sports world who dominate the field year after year. We think, in the last 100 years or so, we think of names like Babe Ruth, Jack Nicklaus, Larry Bird, Sonia Henie, Martina Navratilova. And of course, who can forget those great team sport powerhouses? I remember when I was a kid, late 50s, early 60s, the New York Yankees. Now, I realize we're in Cincinnati Red territory, but during that stage, they dominated professional baseball, and then other teams in other sports like the Boston Celtics in the early 60s. These were the legends. Now, I don't know if the Apostle Paul was a sports fan, but he certainly loved to use athletic metaphors and military ones too. In his day, the line between athletics and soldiering was closer than it is today. I mean, think about it. A gladiator. Is a gladiator an athlete or a soldier? All the early sports, javelin, wrestling, distance running, demonstrated military skills. And so Paul often portrays the struggle, the endurance, the rewards of the Christian life in terms of arena and battlefield. These were word pictures that the people of his day would have readily understood. And so it is that the apostle speaks with such striking language in verse 37. In the face of great obstacles, Paul is emphatic. We, God's people, come off as not just victorious, but more than victorious. We are more than conquerors, says Paul. In other words, God has given us a smashing victory. And this super victory is not for a very few fortunate Christians. It is God's gift to all who follow Christ. God is at work in us and through us, and linked to Him, we cannot be defeated. Now, let's look at the scope of this overwhelming victory that Paul is talking about. Here's the first point. Doubts. Doubts cannot defeat God's purposes. We see that in verses 31 through 34. Do you know something about doubt? I think we all do. Sometimes the worst enemy that we face is not Satan or the world. It's ourselves. God is trying to take us forward. But truthfully, sometimes our hearts are filled with doubt. Our lack of faith may drag us down to defeat. Our conscience sometimes condemns us. Our inconsistencies of character condemn us. Our fears condemn us. What can you and I do in the face of such self-doubt and, frankly, failure? Hear what the Holy Spirit says through the apostle. God is for us. God is for us. Folks, God is for us. That's what we can count on. In Christ, God has already covered our shortcomings. We believe, but our faith is imperfect. How often so many of us cling to our doubts and our fears and our failures. How often our attempts at living for God seem to rise so high, so quickly, and then just as quickly we fall flat. But know this, Christ Jesus is on the side of believers who love the Lord. Christ died for us. That's His grace. Christ rose for us. That's our victory. Christ ascended for us. That's our authority. And now He intercedes in heaven for us, present tense. And that is our assurance. Yes, Christ is the judge of all, but He is also the defense attorney for the saved. What could be more encouraging? That Christ is on our side because God is on our side. Yes, we do face doubts, and we acknowledge them, but we also face difficulties. But Paul says, verses 35 through 37, that difficulties cannot defeat God's purposes. Just look at the problems that we face. Paul here ticks off a number of items. He uses the word trouble. This actually is a very general word. Every person seated here this morning knows some level of trouble. And in fact, the longer that you live, the more trouble you will experience. It's the word that is philipsis, has the basic idea of pressure. We're under pressure. And it's the word that's so often translated either as hardship, as trial, or affliction. That's what we face. But more specifically, there are sometimes hardships, says Paul. This word is also translated as suffering or distress. And again, the Greek is so picturesque because it's a combination word. It means a narrow space. How many know what it means to be in the squeeze? How many know what it means to be in a bind? That is literally what Paul is talking about here. And of course, persecution is always a possibility. Not so much in this country, though opposition seems to be growing year by year. But for many around the world, they face this every day. And I would expect as we near the end of the age that we're going to see more persecution, famine, and nakedness. Thankfully, not for us. But folks, for so many around the world who are believers and yet are living in destitution and poverty, who do not have adequate food, clothing, and shelter. And yet, we have the privilege of reaching out and serving. We heard a little bit about that this morning with Operation Christmas Child. Just one opportunity to serve the poor. But let's face it, many of God's people around the world, especially those who've recently come, are living in poverty. And then, of course, danger or peril is always a possibility. The Apostle Paul certainly knew plenty about that. In 2 Corinthians 11:26, he says, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brethren. Yes, sometimes the worst peril, the worst danger are professing Christians in the church, Paul says. And then, of course, the sword. That violent death or martyrdom is possible. And we know that it probably, at least according to the best estimates, at least 10,000 people in the world are killed directly every year simply because they are Christians. Many more die for related reasons because of starvation or other, or war, or that sort of thing. But people are martyred. And that does happen. And Paul eventually died by the sword. But listen to what Paul says. Now that he's mentioned all of these possibilities, none of these things, says Paul, can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Corrie Ten Boom, that great Dutch saint who lived through the Nazi concentration camps, somehow miraculously survived. One of her great quotes is, "There is no pit so deep that the love of Jesus Christ is not deeper still." And now look at verse 37. See, after Paul has listed all these things and quoted Scripture, "Know in all these things we are more than conquerors." Now what things? Well, the things that Paul's just been talking about, the things that Christians suffer through. I wonder if we're not missing a very great truth, something that we need to latch on to constantly. We Christians are winning, listen to me, we're winning a decisive victory through suffering. That's what Paul says by the Holy Spirit. All the problems that beset us become a means of grace and of growth in Christ and of final glorification. So folks, the choice is yours. You can either become a victim of your circumstances or you can become a victor in Christ. You can cave into your troubles, or you can rise above them with the help of God who loves us. Again, another great quote, this one from D.L. Moody. He said, "If our circumstances find us in God, we shall find God in our circumstances." Yes, it's true, we face doubts, and we face difficulties. But let's get real here. Let's be biblical, as Paul is here. We face satanic opposition. We face devils. Not just one, but Satan has many emissaries in the world. Yes, doubts, yes, difficulties, but also devils cannot defeat God's purposes. Look again at verse 38 and 39, "For I am convinced," look at this list, think about this list, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a climax! Certainly this is one of the most exultant statements in the New Testament. And what confidence Paul displays. This is the confidence that all who belong to Christ can possess. Paul drives home this point in the most emphatic way possible. He is asking, is there anything that can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Notice the things that cannot separate us from God and from Christ. Not the crisis of death. Listen, if you're a believer and you died right in the pew right now, your death would not separate you from Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. That's why we can live with confidence. Because we know that if we die, it really means nothing. Now, we may leave some grieving people behind, but if you know the Lord, Paul says you go immediately into the presence of Christ. But look at the other things. not the calamities of life. See, it's not only death that can't separate us. We all know that. But please notice that Paul says life cannot separate us. All the circumstances of life, all the difficulties of life, all the problems of life. Some here this morning just feel absolutely overwhelmed. I have a word from the Lord for you. That cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. And then Paul says, nothing in the spirit world. You know, there is another realm that we cannot see. In fact, it's right here in this sanctuary this morning. Wouldn't it be interesting? I thought of this at times. Wouldn't it be interesting if all the angels who are protecting God's people would suddenly appear? Wouldn't that be something? And of course, we know that they have another counterpart in the spirit world. All the fallen angels, all the demonic powers. They too are around. And in fact, we know that these otherworldly powers can actually work through earthly powers. If you don't believe me, just turn on the evening news, folks. Things that are happening in the social realm, the political realm, the economic realm, certainly must be manipulated by the forces of hell. But folks, get the message. Those things cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Can anything separate us? Separate the believer from his Lord? No present circumstances have that power. No future events either. No unseen forces of heaven or hell. Nothing beyond the grave will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. And as if Paul might have missed something, he says, nor, look at the text, nor anything else. You wonder what he was thinking about in the anything else. No accident can keep us from God. No disaster can keep us from Christ. No genetic flaw or disease. No cancer, no stroke, no Alzheimer's can keep you from the love of God in Christ. No fate, no chance, no karma, no astrological combination. That's what he's talking about here, height nor depth. He's talking about in those times, many people, as there are today, believe that somehow the constellations in certain combinations with the planets could control your fate. Paul says, nonsense. It doesn't count. No dark powers that manipulate social movements, political ideologies, economic fortunes, or religious fanaticism. And hear me this morning, Al-Qaeda and ISIS combined cannot defeat the people of God. Hallelujah. No antichrist, no false prophet, no beastly new world order. None of these are a match against God's grace toward those that he loves. Hallelujah. 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 See, I'm preaching good news this morning, folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, if that's true, now I ask you, Christian friend, as I did in the opening of chapter 5, When will we, the people of God, claim our birthright? When will we grab hold of those things that Christ has already won for us? The promise of Romans 8:37 is not a small one. Heaven has given us a decisive victory. Why live stalemated by the world? Why live as if sin, self, and Satan have the upper hand? You see, they don't. They really don't. We, the church, are part of Christ's awesome Calvary victory. We are more than conquerors. But what does that phrase really mean? I think we need to just back up for a moment to take in the full panorama of this Mount Everest that we call Romans 8. Doesn't the flow of this chapter itself answer all of our questions? Consider for a moment all that comes to us in the cross and the empty tomb. Think about this. Verse 2, we have the law of the Spirit. And as we learned back in that message, about 10 messages back, that means the power principles of the Spirit. They belong to God's people. Verses 2 and 10, we have the life of the Spirit. Verse 14, we have the leading of the Spirit. Verse 21, we have the liberation of Christ by the resurrection. Verse 26, we have the lift of the Spirit in His intercessory prayers for us. Verse 29, we have the likeness of Christ that's being put into our character. And verses 35 through 39, we have the love of God in Christ. That's your list of L words. Isn't that incredible? That's all ours in Christ. What resources we possess. What security. What assurance. No Christian here this morning need live in fear or defeat or without assurance. And so at the close of chapter 8, we come full circle from chapter 5. Paul begins this four-chapter section with on a note of assurance, and he's singing the same theme here at the end of chapter 8. Some years back, the famous, now late, George Beverly Shea, of course, who was associated with Billy Graham for many years as a vocalist. He was the featured artist at a gospel music gathering in Nashville. Before singing one evening, he shared some experiences that he had had, many of them because, of course, he lived to be way over 100 years old, I think 104 or something like that. He pointed out how frequently, because of his fame, that original compositions were sent to him with a request, of course, that he would record their song. And some of these weren't very good. One song sent to him was entitled, God's Grip Don't Slip. George Beverly Shea went on to say that though the grammar was atrocious, it actually had some terrific theology. You see, because God has placed His hand upon us, and folks, His grip doesn't slip. Praise the Lord. Now, isn't that good news for those of us whose hearts are heavy? Isn't that what our hearts long for? While the world around us is spinning its doomsday scenarios, while so many live in fear of an uncertain future, we who know the Lord can rest in His strong arms. Whatever happens, our future is secure. If we die, once again we go directly to the presence of the Lord. And if we suffer, God will give us the grace to endure. And if we live on in relative peace and prosperity, then God be praised. But even then, I want you to know that God will keep His people from temptation, because that's when we're tempted the most. When life is good. Do you possess that kind of assurance this morning? Tell me, is your heart this morning filled with fear, or is it filled with faith? Is it filled with condemnation or confidence? I want you to know that even this morning in my last service with you, that you can settle this question. I would urge you, every one of you, to put your full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And in fact, if the Spirit prompts you, as we sing that final hymn, I'm going to ask that if you have a spiritual need, that you just walk forward. And we'd love to pray with you, or talk with you, or counsel you as needed. You can leave this house of worship this morning a new person, a changed person. And that, my friends, is the power of the gospel. Amen and amen. Let us stand for that final hymn.